and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of December 31st, the end of 2012. I'm your co-host and snowbound Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and ailing Melissa Hansen.
I am. So the past month, out of the past 4 weeks, I've had a cold for like three of them. I got one at the beginning of the month, recovered from that for like a week or so, and then had to travel again and be on a plane with people again.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I have a cold again.
Well,
so pardon my voice if it gets scratchy.
It's going to be a healthy 2013 for you. That's what that
means. That's my plan.
Yeah. So what has your week in entertainment, your holiday week in entertainment looked like?
Well, my holiday week in entertainment's been a lot of sitting on the couch watching movies.
Yeah, me too.
And it started kind of with like Christmas Vacation.
Oh.
Of course, on Christmas.
Yep.
But then it devolved into like Mr. Mom, Summer Rental,
oh my God,
UHF, Tommy Boy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it slowly turned into on Netflix because like Christmas Vacation, they recommended Mr. Mom. I'm like, oh, Mr. Mom. And then it just kept going from there.
Oh my God.
It was quite odd, but fun.
Wow.
But then it's ended up with what's out streaming and DVD now, Looper.
Oh.
The sci-fi with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Yep.
And then Emily Blunt's in it, which is very interesting casting. She plays a blonde American.
She did a really nice job with that, too.
Yeah, she did. And then Paul Dano, who's so good. A smaller role, but good. And Jeff Daniels is in it. It's a totally whacked role.
Yes.
He does a great job.
Oh, my God. So
yeah,
what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was a high-quality movie.
Yeah.
I thought the writing, the acting, the cinematography, everything about it, pretty much. I thought the score was kind of boring. But I can't decide if I liked it or not.
Yeah, the concept is interesting. I had a hard time. I loved it because I got into it and bought into the whole mythology of how it was.
Yeah.
But then there's so many moral kind of conflicts going on. You're like, you don't know how to respond to some of this.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's like, it was really good. I'm glad I watched it. I don't know if I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
And it's really different than I thought it was going to be. It's not just action sci-fi.
No.
At all. You end up, the majority of it, it takes its turn. It starts out completely what you think it's going to be.
Yep.
And really cool and visually beautiful and all kinds of stuff. And then all of a sudden it takes its turn and becomes a much more thoughtful,
yes,
intriguing piece. But it's a little bit two movies in one. So the majority of it is not what you think it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you get into the Emily Blunt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
comes out,
yeah,
there's a twist that comes out of nowhere. I had a bit of a problem with Joseph Gordon-Levitt smirking so much to try and get Bruce Willis's facial features or characterizations going.
Yeah, and that kind of, that didn't catch me, but how much they look alike got me.
Yeah, and I'm
not
sure.
And then I was wondering, did they actually, there's one scene, okay, they play the older and younger, it's a time travel.
Yes.
Is the basis of it.
Yeah.
But then they play older, younger versions of the same person.
Yeah.
And there's a scene, they're in a diner sitting across from each other.
Yeah.
And man, their profiles are exact. And I wondered if they did any effects work.
It was either a latex prosthetic that they did on Joe's nose, that kind
yes.
of bridge area, or it was done digitally after the fact. And I
That's
can't,
my question.
Yeah.
Is because it was so dead on looking alike. I'm like, there is no way they look that alike.
Yeah.
So that, and then I ended up getting into stuff like that, like thinking you either thought a lot about the plot line mm-hmm. and like making sure if this makes sense.
Yeah.
Or that kind of thing, like the effects work and things like that. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, they really do look alike. Did they do something? So that took me out of it, just not in a bad way,
yeah.
but just kind of thinking about the movie and how they made it.
Yeah.
So, but no, I really recommend it.
Well,
like I said, it's not just action. I mean, it's definitely a sci-fi movie, but it's got this very grounded center section in it.
Yeah. Well, on Christmas Eve, we took my nieces and nephew to go see Rise of the Guardians, which was the latest animated feature. And I wasn't expecting a whole lot. You know, like Ice Age and all these other kind of things, it's geared towards families and kids and, it's kind of lowest common denominator stuff, but I have to say that this was above and beyond the Call of Duty in terms of a family animated story. They created this world and this mythology where Santa, the Easter Bunny, the Sandman, the Tooth Fairy all exist in this universe and have this responsibility to care for the health and safety of children.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just holiday icons, but they actually have this guardianship to make sure that these children grow up in a safe world. And then there's this character called Pitch, who is Nightmare. He's the guy who creates nightmares, and he's found a way to kind of usurp the power of the other guardians, and it's up to the rest of them to band together and take him down. So the newest guardian is Jack Frost. And nobody knows who he is, and none of these kids believe in him. So he has no real power other than to just kind of change the seasons.
Right.
But when Pitch rises to power, Jack has this ability to kind of take him down, and he has to band with these other characters who don't really believe in him either and trust him at all. And it was exceptionally well done from a creative standpoint, from a visual standpoint, from an acting standpoint. Chris Pine does Jack Frost. Alec Baldwin does this Russian Santa Claus.
Nice.
Which you never would guess it was Alec, but it's so robust and so three-dimensional. I have not seen animated characters, aside from a Pixar film, that have had such depth that has showcased in this film. I was just really thoroughly impressed.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So if you have not seen it, I'm sure, you know, the window between movies and DVD is rapidly shrinking, like Frankenweenie's mm-hmm. coming out in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw Paranorman, which was, you know, in theaters not too long ago. So definitely check this out. It's not just a kid's movie. This plays on multiple levels, and adults are going to get a lot more out of this than you think.
Okay.
And there's a lot of humor in there, too. One of the things is the elves don't make the toys for Santa Claus. They just, mm-hmm. you know, think they do. It's the Yetis. He's got an entire army of Yetis. So,
nice.
Really, really cute. And I, too, had been doing movie marathons, although I had been going vintage. So
okay.
I did Holiday
Inn. Wait, you're saying Tommy Boy is not vintage?
This is true. It is vintage in an 80s kind of way. I'm going back. I did Holiday Inn. I did White Christmas, which I know we've had this argument for years. I still do not think they play on the same level, but that's just me.
No, they don't play on the same level at all. White Christmas is so much better.
No. But then I've done all these Gene Kelly movies, like American in Paris, like Singing in the Rain, like I just did Summer Stock again.
Nice.
So, yeah, and thanks to Amazon Prime, I've been enjoying a whole bunch of really classic films.
Good.
So, but there's a lot going on at the box office. A handful of films who have just been beating each other up to try and get the top spot over the holidays, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and they're fairly close, the top three.
Yeah.
You know. There's like less than 5 million separating them. But The Hobbit came in number one mm-hmm. with almost 33 million over the weekend. And then Django. How do you say it?
Django.
Django.
The D is silent.
It's okay. Django Unchained, which Spike Lee is freaking out over.
Why?
Because of the use of the N-word.
Oh.
And Quentin has no business using the N-word.
Oh.
Spike can use it, but Quentin can't.
Oh, God.
In a historical drama.
Ugh.
When it was used regularly, it would be completely fake if they weren't using it.
Right.
Anyhow, that came in second. Les Mis came in third with 28.
Yeah.
Parental Guidance with just under 15. Yeah. So there's our drop.
Billy Crystal and Bette Midler, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jack Reacher. Okay, it got 14 million.
Okay.
Yeah, the Guilt Trip, man, is way down with less than 7 million.
Yeah.
That did not open. Yeah, that's interesting. That Parental Guidance is the one.
Right, and you would think that the Barbara fans would
yeah, you think Parental first. Guidance and The Guilt Trip are going to kind of have some of the same audience.
Right, exactly.
But yeah. Yeah, Bette Midler outdid Barbara Streisand.
There
Look
you
at
go.
That.
There you go. I don't know if you heard, but Anne Hathaway had been doing press for Les Mis, and She's interesting in that she's very down on herself. So they were like, well, what do you think of your performance? Because they had done a whole bunch of different takes, you know, with them singing live.
Because they sang live. This wasn't like they went in a studio and recorded.
Right.
It was like, what you see is what you get. That's right. Them singing live.
So she, I don't know who she was talking to, but she kind of downplayed herself and, you know, said what a lousy job she did. And it's just like, how does that serve you and how does that serve the film? When you kind of, you know, berate yourself in public.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's nice to see an actress not, you know, thinking she's the absolute best.
Because then that's a play for sympathy too, right? Like, oh, no, you did a nice job. Oh, no, I sucked.
Right.
Oh, no, I did
you
a nice job.
You have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Man, I want to give her props, though, for handling her whole wardrobe malfunction the way she did.
Oh,
It was the big premiere, and she had this long but slit dress,
yeah.
And she got out of the car, and people took pictures of her hoo-ha and posted them everywhere. And freaking Matt Lauer on the Today Show.
Yeah.
She comes to talk about the movie.
Right.
And his first thing, he brings up the wardrobe malfunction,
what?
Laughing and giggling, like how we've seen so much of you lately. And crap.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
no,
so pissed.
Class.
And she talked about how sad it is that this is talked about, even. That it's an issue, that it's a thing, that someone would take a picture of someone else like that and distribute it.
And NBC is paying
and
him
that
how
Matt
much
Lauer
money?
Would freaking talk
right,
about
exactly.
it. This is news. This is like one of the biggest movies of the year, and we're going to talk about her hoo-ha?
That's sleaze.
Are you kidding me? How disrespectful and just pointless. And she handled it beautifully.
Oh, good for her.
Talking about how women are used in this world, that's okay to do to a woman, and it's okay to snicker about it. And that it's not okay.
Well,
it's sexual abuse.
We've become a very voyeuristic society. You know, mm-hmm. And that's pretty much from, you know, morning to night, people are hooked to the internet. Anytime something happens, we're right there in the middle of it.
Yep.
And there's a sick, perverse attraction to that stuff. You know,
yeah.
Jessica Simpson just posted pictures of her pregnant belly or something like that. And that's raising all sorts of stuff, too, because now she's taking – somebody digitally altered it to make it look like she was nude or, you know.
Nice. Appropriate.
Yeah. Right.
Ugh. All right.
I don't know.
Let's move on.
One more thing about Skyfall.
Yeah.
So it's opening in China next month, which China said this will never play in our country and this kind of stuff. So it's opening in China. It has just become the 14th film to pass $1 billion in cinematic history.
And it just passed $100 million in Britain.
Wow.
Which is big.
Yeah.
Which is here, it's not such a big deal. But yeah.
And it's the third film this year to do $1 billion. Avengers and Dark Knight Rises were the
other
two.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing we've gone that far.
Yeah. So for all the people who say that the box office is dying, guess what? Not so much.
Yep.
Although, you wouldn't be able to tell from the movies that are being released next week at the box office.
So, okay.
We've got three coming out. One is Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Oh, my God, because we need to see that in 3D. It's not creepy enough.
So this is the third film in the remake franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Written by nobody we know, directed by nobody we know, and starring, you'd think I'd say nobody we know, Clint Eastwood's son, Scott.
Okay, nobody we know. We know his dad. It doesn't mean we know him.
Oh, boy.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah. We've got a small political action thriller called A Dark Truth, starring Forrest Whitaker and Andy Garcia. And then here's interesting. Gus Van Sant's latest, he's directing a screenplay from John Krasinski from The Office and Matt Damon. It's called Promised Land. It's about a natural gas salesman who arrives in a small town and sets off some profound changes.
Yeah.
But Matt stars alongside Frances McDormand, Steppenwolf's Terry Kinney, and the great Hal Holbrook.
Wow, that is a cast and a half.
Yeah, and under Gus's direction, you can't imagine it's going to be anything less than impressive.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, do people want to see that subject matter?
Right. To DVD and Blu-ray this week, if you're not going, you're going to stay inside and the weather's terrible. David Cronenberg's Cosmopolis, which is another Cronenberg perverse little... I guess this guy, Gordon, reviewed it for us, and I guess the guy kind of lives in his car. He's like a wealthy eccentric who does everything by living in his car in this dystopian future.
Yeah, but people should go, and fans of Cronenberg should go read that review, because we've gotten some feedback from fans who are impressed with Gordon's writing about it, and somebody who actually gets Cronenberg instead of people who just don't get him reviewing his stuff.
Nice.
So, yep.
Nice. For those of you who are following the U.S. remake of BBC's Being Human, season 2 is available this week. And then we've got a handful of other films. So we've got Juno Temple and Leslie Mann in Little Birds. A lot of this is direct-to-DVD stuff. Mm-hmm. Michael C. Hall and Lucy Liu in Trouble with Bliss. We've got vintage stuff from Fox's version of the Warner Archive. So it's Fox's archive. Betty Grable and Cesar Romero in Beautiful Blonde. And George Segal and Goldie Hawn in The Duchess and the Dirtwater Fox.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then there's a metric ton of fitness DVDs to kind of satiate your New Year's resolutions. So, plenty to explore there. Over at Netflix, Great BBC Comedy is available this month on Netflix. Coupling.
One
of our favorites. Vicar of Dibley with Dom French.
My second favorite show.
Catherine Tate Show, for those of you who've been watching her on The Office. She had her own very highly successful comedy on the BBC. A Bit of Fry and Laurie.
Nice.
So if you only know Hugh Laurie from House, you're going to...
Oh, yeah, you don't know him at all if you only know him from House.
No, and the great Stephen Fry. Mm-hmm. Waiting for God.
Oh, that's a really cute one.
It is. And then John Cleese's Fawlty Towers.
Oh, classic.
Yeah. So that'll keep a lot of BBC comedy fans...
Yeah, and if you aren't a fan, watch those. Oh. Because those are the best.
Vicar of Dibley is a great series. And Coupling is fantastic. Individual films from some very recognizable male stars. Charlton Heston in Earthquake. A very 70s disaster film. Paul Newman in the cult classic hockey film Slapshot. John Travolta in the sequel to Saturday Night Fever called Staying Alive.
I actually saw that in the theater.
Did you really?
Yeah. Is wow. that kind of sad?
It's kind of a waste.
It was
money.
Like an 80s. Yeah, it wasn't the 70s thing. It was the 80s twist on that. And the 80s ruined everything good from the 70s, including that movie.
I'm not going to argue with you there. And then Matthew Broderick in War Games, which is a great little thriller. And according to Eric, who reviewed it for us, it still holds up really well. Over at Hulu... You're not going to find much to watch. It is the Lifetime Original Movie Week over at Hulu. Those things are terrible, and there's a ton of them for you to explore. Now, we did mention Joseph Gordon-Levitt in Looper. His movie with Lucas Haas called Brick is available on Hulu this week. And that's another one of them. He did a lot of these great little independent dark films. And this is about a high schooler who was investigating the disappearance of his ex-girlfriend. So, not quite as intense as Mysterious Skin, but still a good movie in its own right. And that's all I've got. I'm going to hand it over to you for TV.
Okay. Well, not much happening. It's about half and half with reruns and new shows this week. So, check out your favorites and make sure you don't miss it if it is new. Then we'll be back to normal next week. But obviously, Monday this week, New Year's Eve, ABC has Dick Clark's, which, you know, of course, Dick Clark is gone, so it's really Ryan Seacrest, but Dick's name is still on it.
Yeah.
And then NBC has Carson Daly's. So you can ring in the new year with Ryan Seacrest or Carson Daly or just no one might be
or,
better.
Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin on CNN.
Yes. And then Tuesday during the day, ABC has the Rose Parade and then college football for New Year's. Friday evening, Portlandia second season just ended.
Oh.
And the third season starts this Friday.
Oh, jeez.
And then Sunday, The Biggest Loser is back. And Jillian is back this season.
Was she gone last season?
Yeah, she had left. And yes. And the tagline is, we're back. And so is Jillian. Anyhow, that's on NBC. But then on PBS, on Masterpiece, hosted by Laura Linney, Downton Abbey Season 3 starts here in the States.
Laura Linney really took over for Diana Rigg?
Yeah, Laura Linney. Well, they combined Mystery. Diana Rigg did Mystery.
Oh, okay.
They combined Masterpiece Theater and Mystery.
Ah.
And now it's they take turns kind of going back and forth between the classic and the mysteries. And Laura Linney hosts the masterpiece, and Alan Cummings hosts the mystery.
Ooh, interesting. So,
but yeah. All right, so there you go. There's your public television lesson of the week. Music and books this week, not much going on because everything came out the past, you know, month.
Right.
So you could buy it for Christmas. They are releasing, it's Hallmark Music is releasing a bunch of classic stuff. It's not like remastered and whatever. They're just re-releasing kind of first albums. But they're releasing Surf and Safari by the Beach Boys, The Sound of Johnny Cash, and a CD called The Early Years by the Beatles.
Oh, wow.
So some of their first stuff, you know, if you don't already have it, CD streaming, you can pick it up now.
Right.
Books this week, there are a few TV-related ones. Al Roker has a new book he co-wrote with Laura Morton, Never Going Back, Winning the Weight Loss Battle for Good.
Yeah, good for him.
So, not talking about the weather, but his now skinnier ass.
Yeah.
Cesar Millan.
Yes.
The Dog Whisperer has a new book. Short Guide to a Happy Dog, 98 Essential Tips and Techniques. And then there's a new Doctor Who novel by Stephen Baxter. It's called The Wheel of Ice.
Nice. Now, did you catch up with Series 7 yet?
No.
Okay. Yeah, and I didn't watch the Christmas special yet, so I still have to. But everyone talks about how fantastic it is.
Yeah, I need to catch up. I didn't have cable available for the whole thing. And it's actually taped at my mom's house.
Oh, there you go.
But I'll try to catch it before I make it back to see her. But I recently talked about Katie Holmes on Broadway.
Yes.
Her play, Dead Accounts, new comedy, woo, and it was supposed to run through February 24th.
Okay.
Its final performance will be January 6th.
Ooh, not making any money.
Yeah, not doing so good there. So remember I told you all you could either go see, what, Patti LuPone, or you could go see Katie Holmes?
Yeah.
obviously you didn't pick Katie, so I'm slightly proud of you.
There you go.
But anyhow, it's kind of sad for her. But anyhow, if you are a fan, get your butt there this week because it will be done early.
Well, you know how I always start out with bad news when we talk about entertainment news?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to start with something uplifting this week.
Yay.
So J.J. Abrams.
And then I'll finish with breaking bad news.
Oh, my God. Okay. J.J. Abrams has arranged a special screening of Star Trek Into Darkness for one of the co-runners of the New York Asian Film Festival who has recently learned he has terminal cancer.
Yeah.
Now, he's notoriously tight-lipped about everything. He wants to keep everything, you know, about his films under wraps, but he's made this special request, which I think, you know, shows the humanity of people. You know, you take, you know, heart over publicity, or some people may say it, but the Star Trek franchise doesn't need any additional publicity, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was interesting. But we do have two deaths to discuss this week.
Mm-hmm.
The great Charles Durning, who has most recently played Dennis Leary's father on Rescue Me, but has had a wealthy career of great roles, passed away at 89. And then we have Jack Klugman.
Yes.
Who was so 90? He was 90. Old. Yeah.
Yeah, he was 90. And I had talked about him and how I had such a crush on him as a kid with Quincy.
Yeah.
And that the one of the seasons just came out on DVD.
Yeah.
For that. Yeah, sad, but not unexpected either.
No, he went through some terrible throat and lung cancer surgery back in the 80s, I believe, 90s, which left his voice really more of a whisper than anything else.
Right.
But he's survived by his wife, Peggy Crosby, who is the daughter of Bing Crosby.
I did not know that.
I did not either. So interesting there. More creative differences from the set of The Walking Dead. Showrunner Glenn Mazzara is leaving because, and not about money or anything like that, but apparently the network wants to take the show in a different direction for season 4 and beyond.
Okay.
And this is the same thing that happened with Frank Darabont after the first season. So, I don't know. You can't argue with the results because 2 and 3 went through the roof, you know, ratings-wise. So, maybe the network knows what they're doing. I don't know. Arrested Development fans, prepare.
Yes, yes.
May 4th on Netflix. 14 weeks of new episodes.
Holy cow. I can't believe this is actually happening.
I know. And according to the episode titles, it appears that pretty much every character will get at least one or two episodes of their own featured spotlight.
Nice.
Yeah. So really looking forward to that. And I think it's going to do, you know, in addition to Netflix signing this Disney contract, I think this is going to do gangbusters for them.
Yeah.
This year. And then I will hand it over to you because I know you have some very late-breaking news to share.
Well, I do. I have two, actually.
Oh.
So I'll end up the regular news segment.
Okay.
I don't know if this is bad news or good news. Totally depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
But big news for Chicago people.
What?
Lovey just got fired.
I didn't hear that.
Just happened.
Wow. Well, they didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yep.
And I think he's been there for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
So
he is out, so they will be looking for a new coach for the Bears.
There you go.
Anyhow, well, and Kardashian news, I'm all set to talk about Kourtney and her weight loss.
Yes.
Because she's featured on Us Weekly and Life in Style this week, talking about all of how she got in shape after having Penelope.
Okay.
Well, Kim and Kanye said, screw that, bitch. You are not getting the spotlight because Kanye at a concert talked about Kim as his baby mama.
Oh, my God.
And they have confirmed she's, like, 12 weeks along.
This is disturbing. This has to be one of the 12 signs of the apocalypse.
Well, we knew this was going to happen because what did I talk about last podcast?
Yeah, I know.
Damn Christmas card. And I said, you've got to marry him or knock him up to get on the Christmas card. Yeah. He was pissed he wasn't on the Christmas card this year, so he is making sure he's on it next year.
Jeez.
Anyhow. We will have very big news, and I'm sure they'll broadcast it all so we can see. So everybody who's wanted to see her hoo-ha, I'm sure we'll be seeing it as a baby comes out of it.
Yes, and Ryan Seacrest is already planning some kind of new series spinoff for Kim Gets Pregnant or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I just hope they didn't film the making of.
All right.
Head over to Twitter. Look at, like, Twitter stream from last night when it was announced, like Sunday night.
Yeah.
And there's some really great jokes out there.
Well, the only thing that can get worse from here is that if Chris Brown and Rihanna announce that they're having a baby.
Oh, my God. Okay, we need to stop talking about DVDs.
All right, and on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you guys for another great year over at DVD Verdict. We have some interesting things in store for 2013, so we hope you stick around. Plenty more reviews and all sorts of stuff coming your way. But until then, Melissa Ann, take it away.
I see it in your eyes. I'm the compromise. No, I can't take another. Slow. Goodbye.